Welcome to episode 23 of the Needle Movement Podcast. This is going to be a solo episode where we talk about Shopify. Shopify has had a slew of announcements and partnerships that have come together over the past few weeks after their big annual conference, Shopify Reunite. So glad to have the chance to just discuss this all together. This episode, we'll get a chance to just to review the new Shopify initiatives that made us nerd out the most and the ones that brands on Shopify should pay close attention to. I'm Stephen Carl, talking to you straight from Brooklyn, New York. Now let's get on to the show. Hey, everybody. It's great to be here. Been really looking forward to doing a solo episode recently because it's been a couple months. And just glad to have the chance today to get back in the hot seat. Today, we're going to talk about Shopify, the e-commerce platform, and going to dig deep into the recent conference live stream that they had and some actionable takeaways. And also in the show notes, I'll include a couple really good recaps of what happened at Shopify Reunite. And that's the inspiration. On the edges, we end up talking a lot about Shopify. It's a very popular platform. So it's nice to have this just is a good excuse to talk about what's happening over the next year on Shopify's roadmap. And just even why Shopify is a platform that a lot of people are very passionate about and why it's gotten a lot of positive feedback. Shopify Unite typically happens in the late spring. And then with this year, the calendar took a spin. So the in-person conference was canceled earlier in the year and it was replaced as Shopify Reunite as a live stream that first there was a live stream for all merchants and then about 8 days later, there was a partner town hall that was following up on some of those announcements. And gotta say, this is one of my favorite times of the year, this May-June time period. Because typically you get Shopify Unite and there's a slew of announcements that come out there. And then typically a couple weeks later in early June, you get the Mary Meeker Internet Trends Report that comes out, which is like 200 or 300 pages about all the trends that are happening around the world. So major e-commerce nerd out time. June is a great month just to reflect on your results because businesses, they got 5 months in the bag and it's a time to evaluate performance. June is the time to start planning the rest of the year. I think especially in e-commerce because that fourth quarter is so busy. And the other benefit is that July is often the lightest month of sales for e-commerce businesses. So it's that time where you know that not as much sales are at stake and you can build out projects for the fall and the winter. Or that's what happens in an e-commerce summer in my neck of the woods anyway. So let's go back to the world of Shopify. So recently there was that big virtual event, Shopify Reunite, the live stream. And I guess for me, I've been working within Shopify for over 10 years. And it's been fun to see year after year the challenges that they had in front of us and the growth. And, we're all marketing geeks here, so it's a good role model of just seeing how Shopify differentiated themselves in the market. There's a lot of common traits. About 10 years ago, they were pretty much the little e-commerce platform that could. They catered well to small businesses and they were an alternative to Magento. And I recall about maybe 6 years ago, their problem was they were losing their business to bigger customers. They were, some people call it succeeding your way out of business. So when businesses they'd be on Shopify. And then once they got to $1 million, $2 million, they'd say, oh, thank you, Shopify, but you're not enterprise. So we're going to have to leave this platform and go somewhere else. And after seeing that happen and getting that feedback, that was the inspiration for Shopify Plus. And the Shopify Plus program has been enormously successful because now they're getting the small fish and the big fish. And really seeing it over the years, the way Shopify got popular was through a good user experience on the platform. They do have great marketing. I think they know their target audience, entrepreneurs, and they speak through their problems and try to help. They also got a very strong agency and services network. And agencies and providers, they're basically their affiliate networks. They really do a lot of the sales and marketing for Shopify. And it's not really because there's a financial motivation for it. It's just natural because they enjoy working on the platform. And when you're comfortable working with a platform, especially on the services side, if you're an agency, time is money and time is so valuable to you. And the time saved on working on a simpler platform definitely translates into your success. You know, but you just got to be impressed with Shopify because they're mostly known as an e-commerce platform and a website builder. But in the past couple of years, you look at their projects and they continue to redefine what that means. You know, think about what you expect for an e-commerce store. They don't just do website demos. They don't just marvel you with all their new site features and, you know, how you can build new products or build collection pages more efficiently. What they do is they invest in all the problems that their target audience, entrepreneurs, have. You know, because you look at some of their major projects over the past few years and you're like, that's not an e-commerce store, right? You know, but a couple years ago, they got involved in POS systems and developed their own. Last year, their big announcement was the Shopify Fulfillment Network, you know, to start handling the shipping and fulfillment arm of it, of e-commerce. And they're involved with many partnerships with major marketing channels. And this is a template for e-commerce brands to follow too, because it's not just about selling your physical goods or even the website itself. It's about being on top of the challenges, the problems of your community, knowing where they are, and providing something that helps to eliminate them. You know, and there's also a sense of adaptation too, because I think for all of us, the way our business was 2 years ago or 3 years ago, totally different than it is now. I mean, we're seeing it uniquely in 2020, you know, a different marketing landscape and buyers, but it really happens every year or every 2 years. You see major changes. You know, so that adaptation is very noticeable for Shopify. Yeah, but it also goes to where e-commerce is headed, like modern DTC e-commerce. As they say these days, you should master an audience and understand their needs, not just focus on your products. I mean, of course you got to do both, but once you master that audience and once you know what they want, then you can sell new types of products to them. And that's one key to increasing customer lifetime value. You know, and just take one really quick example. I'm not sure if you've heard of this brand. It's a bedding company, the brand Brooklinen. So that company is in bedding and they mastered bedding sheets. So now what are they doing? They just started selling loungewear. It's an easy product extension. They already know that audience. So it's an easy way to sell a new product to them. But that's just another example of adapting. And for brands, like for all of us with digital marketing, it's just hard to stay ahead of the curve of where digital commerce is headed. Also, what channels are worth our time? And I think Shopify for many years has been an excellent resource. You know, and if you're not, like, some good resources with Shopify are they have a podcast called Shopify Masters. And also the main Shopify blog always has really cool success stories and talks about some of the things that we're all thinking about on how to evolve our stores. So here I'll cover some of the major announcements that came from Reunite and, you know, what came out on the marketing side. But I think Shopify has always been like a good place to look when you're looking for inspiration on what's going on in e-commerce. What new trends do I have to keep track of? Like, Shopify is a good barometer of it because they get involved in a lot of development on their platform and they also establish a lot of partnerships. So if that channel is effective, if it has an attractive audience, Shopify is going to be active. They're going to set things up, no doubt. I mean, Shopify is everywhere right now in marketing. Email, Pinterest, Facebook, SMS, Google, chatbots. You know, case in point, as a promo to Shopify Reunite, I even noticed that they were selling virtual clothing. They got into virtual clothing. They were selling virtual Shopify swag that online players could wear in the video game Animal Crossing. And that makes me feel good that Shopify, it's a big company now, but they told 10 employees or, you know, 10 or so employees, they told people inside the organization, we got to investigate this gaming platform that has over 50 million users. It's not e-commerce, but we want to see how it fits into it. Report back to us on all your findings. You know, and they didn't say the opposite, which is, oh, you know, we're just an e-commerce platform. I mean, that's not us. We don't do that. You know, and that's what can kill you, that type of logic in businesses. So just seeing that adaptability is really refreshing and why Shopify has succeeded. So let's dive into the Shopify Reunite conference. A slew of announcements. I'm just going to go through the ones that made me jump. You know, a lot on the marketing side and, you know, a little bit into the store. Let's see. So a couple of big marketing announcements. So one was for the Shop app. It's a mobile app that was recently launched. It is described as a personal shopping assistant. You know, and this is something that you can download in the Apple Store easily. And I'm pretty sure it's on Android as well. It's an evolution of an app called Arrive that's been around already. And here, customers can place orders. They can shop and follow brands in one place. They can track orders in real time. And the idea is just to have a better mobile experience, because I don't know about you, but, you know, with tracking your package, like once you've ordered, tracking where your package can be, that can be a total shit show normally. So if the Shop app can make this better, God bless. For consumers, a benefit to using the Shop app, one benefit is that they can use Shop Pay, which is a lightning fast one-tap checkout. I mean, they say it's 4 times faster than normal. You don't have to fill out a form every time, but it's much easier for repeat business. And we all know that's where you want to get. This app is also pledging carbon neutrality. Shopify has pledged to offset any emissions created from the orders. And it's cool. On the app, you can actually monitor your own impact. And there's a visual of how many trees the community is planting as a result of these orders. And the near vision for it is later this year, Shop is going to become a channel. And this, people are saying it sounds like a marketplace strategy for all Shopify stores, for all merchants, that a la Amazon or Etsy, it's one place where a shopper could interact with a number of Shopify stores from the same place. And here on the Shop app, merchants will be able to customize their shop profile so that they can differentiate themselves and tell their brand story. So it's gonna be a free channel for all Shopify merchants. So I'd say dive in. It sounds promising. This is an evolution of a previous app called Arrive. It is encouraging that 16 million people have already downloaded this app and are using it. So with that strong user experience, this could catch on. So the next thing on the digital marketing side was Facebook Shops. And you know, Shopify and Facebook recently announced a major partnership. Facebook Shops is basically a simple version of your online store that lives inside the Facebook and Instagram mobile app. And like Facebook has done this before. I think there was one analyst that joked that e-commerce is Facebook's white whale. Like for over a dozen years, they've wanted to be closer to e-commerce, and every couple of years they push out products. So this is definitely the 5.0 or 6.0 version of Facebook's attempt to get closer to e-commerce. So now they're rolling out Facebook Shops. It's already available on Facebook. It is coming to Instagram this summer. That's what they said. Also, Instagram is planning to add a dedicated shopping tab to its navigation this year. You know, and within Shopify, you can integrate through the admin and be able to customize the appearance and layout of pages. So if you're curious, if you want to see a real life example of Shops and how it looks on Instagram, just search for this account. If you're familiar with Uniqlo, the clothing retailer, their American account has Facebook Shops live. So it's at Uniqlo USA. So check that out. You can play around with it. It's basically a microsite. And my take is that Facebook Shops is well designed for a business that's already seeing some sales from Facebook and Instagram, that's already invested in paid social advertising. And I like the core idea here, because the assumption here and why they're doing this, why they're putting this microsite and having it all inside of mobile, is that we all know that cross-platform shopping sucks. You know, when you gotta be on Facebook and then jump to a website and then cross over to your desktop, you know, if everything can happen in one place, we all win. It's a much better user experience and much more seamless. And also, Facebook Shops is eventually gonna be immersed in Facebook's advertising ecosystem. It's possible that they will charge a fee on a sale that's done entirely on the social media platform. It's a little bit of a question mark. But when you look at Facebook's near vision of e-commerce, it becomes more interesting. It's like how you can do more of the e-commerce portion of it outside of the website. You know, so let's just say you're on Instagram, you're looking at an Instagram story and you like the product that's in that story. What if you could check out right there, then and there, by swiping up? And I think that's not happening now, but it's, I think, where it's going. Another thing is shopping live streams are coming to Instagram. So I think QVC. I mean, I think that's the best analogy I can think of. But I mean, this has been going on for years in Asia, especially in China, but brands and influencers often do live streams there and are very successful at generating sales. In the US, like, everyone's just waiting for things to catch on. I mean, it's interesting between Asia and America because there's these subtle differences. Like in America, people are more desktop centric, whereas in China, like, people use their phone for everything and they purchase stuff and they perform more functions from that small screen. Everyone is waiting for live streams to catch on here in some capacity. And that explains Instagram's logic to launch that feature. And I think with Facebook Shops, like the new, you know, this new, having shops as some new, I guess, content inventory, it's going to help on the product discovery side. And it's also going to help on the conversions over time. You know, but what's interesting is they didn't really talk about this that much. Facebook and Instagram, that's not the only properties that Facebook owns. There's a couple of big ones that were left out of that. How about Facebook Messenger and WhatsApp, the other channels they own? I mean, there are huge implications of what they're talking about with Facebook Shops and how that would apply to Facebook Messenger and WhatsApp. You know, so let's go through three of them, which is one, that Facebook Shop, it's not there now, but that Facebook Shop could be inside of Messenger. It could be inside of WhatsApp. It could even be inside a direct message sent on Instagram. You know, and I have a friend who's a merchant and she gets Instagram DMs all the time about product information. So imagine if you could put a shop and do a transaction right there. You know, another thing is sales and customer support will happen or can happen via messaging. And finally, like in the future, like imagine when you can view a shop inside of a chat. If you're having that conversation and there's just a buy button right there and you can take care of it right then and there and make a purchase. You know, we're just imagining a roadmap of where Facebook Shops can go, and it's exciting. So it ties into conversation marketing channels. There are going to be more use cases, and by keeping things in the same channel, there's going to be less friction to purchase. Because the other thing that Facebook is doing is this idea of interoperability, that if I'm a Facebook user, I could communicate with a WhatsApp user without having to create an account on either end. So they're really trying to foment more communication and opportunities between the channels. And I guess I have to confess, I'm more enthusiastic about Facebook than just a couple of years ago. And I'll admit it, at times in the past, maybe even on this podcast, I've been a little tough on Facebook. Trash talked it a little bit. You know, for this show, I try to be critical where necessary. Opinions can evolve. You know, we have to be fluid with our responses as more products come out. Honestly, like I hear a ton of success stories that are coming from paid social right now. I think the issue is always where a Shopify merchant is at the time, where that store is, because the challenges you have at different rungs of businesses is completely different. Like if your store is at $200,000 a year in sales, the challenges you're going to have, the third-party providers you're going to use, the agencies you're going to hire is completely different than a $1 million store or a $10 million store. Any ad channel is going to be more challenging for smaller merchants. And it's going to be challenging because sometimes you can't hit minimums that are going to be required to work with arguably better providers. You know, I actually had this experience today. I was talking to SMS marketing providers for a startup client. You know, and I'm not sure if you noticed, but I'm getting pretty stoked about SMS because I'm just seeing the numbers and just even you send out campaigns and like 5 minutes later, you have all these sales. It's pretty amazing. But looking into these providers, like doing the numbers with them and I'm talking to them about their features and I'm realizing that my top three choices for certain providers, I can't use because the brand isn't getting enough site visits to qualify. You know, and for this one, the threshold was 10,000 sessions a month. And that's where Facebook can get brands sometimes. Like Facebook can make the marketing harder because sometimes if you're running an emerging brand, that first step, it's harder to get that ROI because you can't get that top-notch solution. You know, you gotta, you know, pull a lot of it in yourself. But sometimes if something doesn't, I think a good thing to know is on some of these channels, if you don't have success initially with it, you could try it again a year or two later. And maybe just because your store has grown so much more and because you have more customers, you'll find success with that channel. Okay, let's go back to Reunite. And I'll just cover some other major announcements on the store side. You know, another big announcement was installments. You know, if you're familiar with Afterpay, there's a provider called Sezzle. And that's where, I mean, this is great for stores that have high ticket items. Like my example for this was, I remember using this to buy a guitar, where the guitar costs about $650. And I was thinking, why don't I just split that up into separate payments? You know, so that's where, you know, Afterpay and Sezzle, like these options have become popular. So Shopify is advertising installments. The product, it's called Installments, has similar functionality to those other two providers. The big benefit for merchants with Shopify Installments is that, you know, if there is a $650 order and the customer pays it off in 4 equal payments, the merchant will see the $650 on day one. And then Shopify takes care of the rest to deliver those installments. So there is a wait list for that product. So if you're interested, just type in Shopify Reunite Installments, and I'm sure you'll find the list, and you just sign up with your email. There's some interesting things going on with the online store design for Shopify. During the live stream, Shopify's CTO said that, you know, this was one of the largest changes that the store has had in a long time. And I think the idea is to make the individual pages more customizable, being able to customize within collection pages and also product pages. Because we've all been there that a lot of times the store just has different types of product. So having the same, using one template for all your product pages can be very limiting at times, you know, and it's nice to have some flexibility. Like, let's just say you want to design 3 different product page templates. So Shopify has this idea of sections everywhere that will make it easier. Along with other things that they're adding to this, you know, to their storefront innovations is updating the product editor. They're promising faster product creation. Just that idea of adding new products, they've enhanced the functionality there. Also, integrating better with purchase orders. There's new purchase order functionality that's going to show all the different stages. So when you get a purchase order, it could have functionality to indicate a draft, ordered, received, and closed states. You know, and that's something, these changes are not happening right now, but they're saying that later this year, those will be launched. Shopify is also talking about upsells and cross-sells throughout the checkout flow. And that's been a feature that everybody is waiting for. We'll see. We'll see how advanced it is. I think it's not, you know, it's nice to be able to upsell products through the checkout. And I think if you have basic needs, Shopify could cover them. You know, but just seeing, there's a lot of third-party providers that do this and probably do it better because they can cover use cases better, more advanced ones. But at the very least, like there will be something in the Shopify dashboard later this year. Okay, now let's talk about site speed. And this is a hot topic on Shopify forums. Good news here that Shopify announced that they rebuilt their store engine to accelerate load times, and that they are expecting it to be twice as fast as it was before. Plus, merchants are going to see this first, and then is going to be available to all merchants by the end of the year. They're also releasing, this is kind of cool, a new online store performance dashboard that will enable you to see the store performance. A lot of people use websites like Pingdom or GT Metrics or Google PageSpeed. That's another one. But sometimes these indicators aren't really accurate for Shopify because there's a lot that goes on behind the scenes. So that's why I think they built in this something within the dashboard so that people can take a harder look at site performance. You know, the thing with site performance is I think it's something that caters to medium and larger stores. And I only say this because a lot of times I'll see people who just started stores or who are early in the journey who think that the site speed is what's stopping them. And oftentimes it's product market fit and creating a more persuasive experience. That being said, site speed does factor in, especially as you're growing, and definitely has positive impact on your conversions. So going to wrap things up in a few moments, just have a couple more Shopify had a lot of announcements, so I just want to go through a couple of more that were important. Another one was local delivery. That was interesting. So, you know, going in line with COVID and stores reopening and needing to have functionality like defining their own delivery routes and curbside pickup. So Shopify, that both of those things can be configured in Shopify now, curbside pickup and local delivery. And I think where local delivery becomes a cool option. And I've seen this with businesses too, where like, think about your walk-in traffic, the walk-in traffic that comes to your store. A lot of times the people that, you know, live two doors down from your business or within a mile of your business that are in very close proximity, those can be your best customers because they see you in person. You can visit the store, you can see everything physically. You know, so having this local delivery option where I believe it's you can draw a radius around a certain geographical limit and then, you know, set the fulfillment. But it can be really valuable to the business because those people should naturally be drawn in by your business. And this makes it one step easier. And especially now with curbside pickup, that's a nice feature that you can just get out of the box on Shopify. You know, and I guess last but not least, let's go into the big announcement at the end. I remember last year, the big announcement was Shopify Fulfillment Network. And that's what they were getting everyone all excited about. And this time they announced a feature called Shopify Balance. You know, and this is another example of Shopify going out of the box. And this time it is about the finance side of merchants. So they are building financial products for business owners and entrepreneurs. You know, and the vision of Shopify Balance, it's designed to help merchants with their cash flow, to help them pay bills, track expense, and get rewards in one place. And this is a huge challenge for entrepreneurs. It is, you know, we hear stories all the time of brands' leadership and their challenges, raising money to keep a business afloat, you know, and that could be courting investors, taking loans, taking out six different credit cards to keep cash. And like, sometimes that's even in a prosperous operation. You know, I'm sure many of you have watched episodes of Shark Tank and think of how often inventory comes up, where it's like, I know I got the orders, I just don't got the money to produce all this inventory. So cash flow is such an important issue. And this is what Shopify is getting involved with more now. Because inventory just has that built-in cost. And helping brands manage through those highs and lows is one of the aims here. You know, and then what they're saying is this will be a one-stop shop in the Shopify admin with no monthly fees or minimum balances. And this is not being launched now. They say it's going to be launched later this year. Looking forward to seeing what the 1.0 version of this is going to be. Like, I predict this is going to be a little bit like Shopify Fulfillment Network because they made that big announcement. And last year felt like a beta year for the Shopify Fulfillment Network because they only opened it up to a few higher volume consumers. You know, so I think that could happen with Shopify Balance as well. But it's interesting that they're working in that direction and trying to help people directly. They also, you know, you should check out Shopify Capital. I mean, because that is also a popular program where Shopify helps with financing directly to merchants. Again, it's like if you're a business that, you know, you figured out the product market fit, you already know that if you order 10,000 items that you can get them sold. I mean, there definitely are more creative financial instruments now than there used to be that can help you scale quicker, which is great. So overall with Shopify, the announcements are really, they're essentially a roadmap for the next year and what's to come. You know, it indicates what the focus of the organization is. And they're also they're signaling their agency and third partner networks on those changes. You know, because Shopify, I think what's nice about the platform in general is that I'm rarely yelling and screaming at Shopify. I mean, sometimes I wish there was a feature here or that I could do more with it, but you know, merchants are able to focus on their marketing and growing the business instead of making sure the website is on at all times. So with the features that they build out often, you know, let's just say they get 60% of the work done with what they have on the platform, and then the Shopify ecosystem does the rest. You know, they're not providing the entire solution, but they're providing a very good chunk of the solution and also aligning themselves with others who can do the rest. That's all for now. I'm going to add in the show notes a couple of good recaps that quickly walk through all the important announcements so that you can see them all. And I'm glad we got a chance to talk about Shopify at length. Adios. This episode is sponsored by Needle Movement. Before you go, gotta mention something new. Right now we're seeing a huge shift towards conversation marketing channels, SMS, Facebook Messenger, and email marketing. Just think about it. Couldn't your upcoming Black Friday numbers double if SMS and Messenger were enabled? And who said that email is the only channel to push a product drop, announce a sale, or have an abandoned cart campaign? Needle Movement provides a done-for-you service to help e-commerce brands unlock 6 to 7 figures of new revenue from their customer base. We'll back that up with an ROI guarantee. Now's the time to get in. As conversation marketing is poised for growth, today it's Facebook Messenger. We already know that Google, WhatsApp, and Instagram are getting into this space soon. Learn more about conversation marketing by visiting needlemovement.com. You can book a call today on the site and we'll estimate the additional revenue opportunity for your brand. And last but not least, be sure to tune in next week for another new episode of the podcast.